welcome to a brand new episode of Sequel Rights, the podcast where we take a look at the franchises that make you go, they made how many of those? And we give each and every sequel a fair trial. My name is Justin Camps, and I'm here with
Elizabeth Helly
and Tyler Hymanson.
And we are here talking about Planet of the Apes again.
2001.
2001, Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Not to be confused with the apes in 2001.
That's right.
Yeah, they are not here.
No, absolutely no connection. Not only that, we have a very special guest with us today. Hannah Bleckman is here.
Hello.
Co-host of the authorized... Oh, God dang it.
The Authorized Novelizations Podcast,
where
we read novelizations of movies. That's what we do.
That's right. And you guys are covering Planet of the Apes as well right now, right?
Yes, yeah. There are like 20 Planet of the Apes books, and so we're breaking it up into sections.
Oh my God.
My co-host Andrew wanted to do them all in a row, and I was like, bruh, no.
Dang.
It has too many apes.
So 20 books. So that means there's some that are not based on...
Yeah. The original five movies have six books related to them.
Wow.
Including four novelizations and then two additional texts. Wow. This movie has like six books for no god reason.
What?
Like, it didn't do well. There's no reason for this. There's a novelization, there's a junior novelization, and then each of those has two spin-off books.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a crime.
So then are you also watching the movies to compare them?
Of course,
okay.
Yeah. As one
must. Oh my God.
That's the exercise.
That's a lot of work.
We almost died at 14 movies for Land Before Time. So I can't imagine.
That's too much.
They made 14.
And at the end is the...
Not yet.
Honestly, good.
Maybe someday.
But I can't imagine more than that. So you're stronger than us.
That's amazing. I love the commitment. Let's get through the fanfare, but I definitely want to ask you about some of the ones we've already gone through.
Since
you are our expert, I try to read the books to things when I can. Like, I did read the Planet of the Apes, like, Pierre Bouvier novel, but when we did our first episode, but I have not read all these other ones. So you're going to have to help us to know about it.
Can't wait to find out what extra insights the novelizations have, especially the junior novelizations.
Yeah.
How do they tone down the horrific violence and sexual tension we see in this?
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Hannah. Hopefully, sometimes you just get stuck with the ones that are crazy.
Yeah,
like this one.
Yeah, maybe not my first choice, but I did choose this one.
You did, scheduling due to a scheduling.
I would have chosen a different one, but
sure. No, we're happy to talk about all of them. In the meantime, if you have suggestions for future franchises that we should cover, email us at sequelrights@gmail.com, and then also reach out to us on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Sequel Rights, and you can also listen to all of our episodes on YouTube.
And yeah, rate and review wherever you're listening. Go to those YouTube streams, as I said last week. Just press play. Let it play the entire time. It'd be really helpful to us. Yeah. To leave comments also wherever you're using social media. Share out some of the older episodes that we've gone through. We're catching up on a lot of things this year. It's a big year for sequels. There's a new Bad Boys movie coming.
There's already
more Chucky.
That's
so
right.
there is time to catch up.
That's right. All right, before we get in the trailer here, let me just make sure we got everything set up here, right? Let me see here.
Activate reading systems.
Okay, perfect. All right, we're good. All right, trailer time.
One day they'll tell a story, and some will say it was just a fairy tale about a human who came from the stars and changed our world.
In a world where freedom is history.
Where am I? What is this place?
Get them out and get them clean!
Brutality is law.
Rise when your master enters.
The powerful rule by fear.
Next you'll be telling us these beasts have a soul.
Is there a soul in there?
It's disgusting the way we treat humans.
How the hell did they get like this?
What other way would they be?
If they see you on the street, they kill you on sight.
You stay here, you're already dead.
Which tribe are you from?
United States Air Force. I'm going back to it.
Some humans have escaped.
Is there another way out of the city?
I can show you the way.
Yeah! Man, oh, I want to just let that rock keep going.
Yeah, that's...
You know, a lot. Yeah. You hear that? Those are the dulcet tones of 2001.
Yeah.
Everybody in the trailer world.
Indeed. So, Hannah, what was your kind of history with the Apes franchise before you started on your recent journey?
Yeah, of course. I had seen this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw Planet of the Apes 2001 in a movie theater.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Why? I don't know. I think I like Mark Wahlberg, and I always have, and that's probably what took me to the theater at age like 11.
Yeah.
To be like, what's this? Apes? I don't know. And then, yeah, very recently got into the rest of the ape world, and now I'm like, I love apes.
Yes. Yeah, so are we, honestly, this far in.
It turns out these movies rock.
Yeah.
They're all great. Like,
yeah.
Who knew?
So I had never actually seen this movie, something that you guys have been shocked by this entire time. Yes. But you both saw it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. I agree. This is probably also, other than like, you know, kind of catching it offhand in some of the originals on TV, in the background, like when my dad was watching them, I never was like fully engaged. This was the first thing that I was like big Tim Burton fan, you know, because I was a like Nightmare Before Christmas and all that stuff growing up. And so I went to go see this with my friends, and I cannot remember a single thing about it other than the ending. And so I was excited to kind of watch this again with fresh eyes and see what I thought as an adult.
But when you were a teen, did you come out being like, that was great? Or
I don't think so.
You don't remember.
So I've been thinking about this a lot. Okay. Because I do remember, I can't remember exactly which theater I saw it in, but you know, I think that it's quite possible that this is the first movie that I saw that I scoffed at. Which is a big moment for me. But like, I remember the ending and just being like, fuck you.
It shattered those rose-colored glasses of like, wow, movies
all movies are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
That's, man, sorry.
Yeah.
So having just seen it for the first time, it was great. And you loved it. Right?
Well, I mean, it was.
Compared to coming off five perfect.
So, yeah. We've been interviewing people from the last five episodes, some of who are hardcore original Apes people. Mm-hmm. And they refer to this movie as the movie that cannot be named or shall not be spoken or whatever. You know, like they act like it, if you mention it, it's like you said Voldemort or whatever, you know, like it's a big thing. So I had low expectations. I mean, it's a movie. It's just very strange. Like many of the decisions, I'm just like, why would anyone decide X, Y, and Z? Like there's just, I can't fathom
more
the logical,
sexual tension.
Yeah, it just, very strange. Duh. And I was saying before we started recording, like the Wikipedia article on this movie specifically is like so long because it went through so much development hell, and that it's very well documented. All these 20th Century Fox executives shenanigans that went into canceling the various versions of this movie that we could have had earlier. Just complete insanity. And it's all documented there on Wikipedia and probably various books like his more,
that's,
you know, history books. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This one. Yeah. The beginning of the movie, I was like, this movie's too horny. It's too horny.
It is. I mean, honestly, from the first time.
It gets
time,
a little less horny as it goes.
And,
but.
And that's rare for this podcast. I don't think we've ever made that. We've never made that proclamation. Horny. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, from the very first time
and we covered
Helena
species.
Bonham Carter's character, Ari,
yeah,
sets eyes on him, like she is like hooked.
Well, it's like you get the, sorry, Hannah.
Oh, no,
go
I was just going to say like in terms of sequeling, I think that's what's kind of interesting about this movie is that it is clearly being like, all that stuff we wanted to do in the 70s, but we thought was fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
Yeah,
do it. Right. Yeah. All these ideas that we had. This movie feels to me like all sequels in one sequel. But like, what if we did all of it big now? We're kissing apes. We're doing uprisings.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Yeah, it's like too much. But I kind of respect the impulse to just like throw it all on the table.
Yeah, yeah. I think when young Tim Burton went and saw the original movies in Burbank,
that's he remembered.
He kind of wanted to kiss those apes.
Look, apes want to kiss Charlton Heston. Yeah. Right. And I love that about her. Yeah. Zira's like, what if I kiss just human men. Yeah. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. And in that first movie, like that was kind of weird, but also we were kind of like, oh, it's the 60s, the 70s. He's an old man. Yeah. Like, whatever.
He's like 50.
Yeah. And like, but this one, like, clearly society is not doing that anymore at this point in time in 2001. And also, like, if they had just had the kiss at the end, I feel like it wouldn't have been as weird. It's all of the weird sexual tension throughout the whole movie that makes the kiss weird.
It's like every single scene, they were like, okay, now you guys are going to follow the dialogue and the script. You're going to say this, that. Okay, but I want you to think the whole time, you want to fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, you say the lines, but remember, you're thinking inside, like, you want to fuck this dude.
It's some bestiality, and we must admit it.
It's very odd. And it's not even just between her. It's like her and Mark Wahlberg's character. It's like her and Thade and like all these people, Thade and everyone.
There's a lap dance, striptease that happens.
We don't need to see what their like sexual practices are like. I was like,
there's a guy like cleaning his armpits with flowers. Like,
it's Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, we must be clear.
Because
that one was him.
Yeah, because he was told that he smelled like humans.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the striptease thing wasn't even like really main characters. It was like, oh, we have a scene where they're running through the city. Let's have them interrupt like a sexual encounter.
It was hijinks, really. And in this movie, those hijinks better be horny. That's
right. It's 2001. Yeah. Nothing could possibly go wrong in the world, and we want to get horned up.
That's right.
I was like, Eliz, you're like dipping your toes into what this movie really gives us. The main thing it really gives us is finally all those ape civilization things we wanted to see.
Sure.
True. Ape barber, ape basketball, ape cool guys with leather jackets smoking a bong or whatever the fuck.
Ape greasers.
Ape greasers. Ape carnival barker guy with a, I don't know.
And honestly, the most important gift of all, ape Paul Giamatti.
Yes, that's right.
Like straight up.
They gave her
the reason for the season.
Yeah. Right.
They gave him a repainted Grinch costume and made him act like Jim Carrey this entire movie.
The makeup is good. I know, the makeup is good.
I'm just kidding.
So yeah, the makeup is different than they used to do. I spent a long time like looking at old pictures and looking at this movie and being like, what is it that's bothering me? Or why is it off? You know, a lot of them look really good. I think the gorillas, especially Michael Clark Duncan, like look amazing. Paul Giamatti and then that other orangutan or whatever he is with the like side ventral things. It looks amazing. But like Helena Bonham Carter and all the other women chimps look bad. And I think it's because they were like, oh, we want them to be able to emote with their mouth. So we're going to use their real mouths instead of giving them like the full like
snout
that like Zira and also like they wanted to really make them differentiated from the men, which the old movies never did. Like Zira and Cornelius were like basically exactly the same, but just with like a little bit of difference so you could tell them apart. Like, but they weren't like, oh wow, that one's obviously a woman and that one's obviously a man.
This was
an iterative process, like with most productions where like they start like they showed Tim Burton the look and he was like, no, I don't want to have sex with that yet.
Right.
This is the first movie she meets Helena Bonham
Carter. It's true.
Not hot. The whole thing.
She's hot, though. Can we make her hotter?
Yeah. So this is the movie that they meet and fall in love.
And his, we saw more mouth.
His girlfriend at the time is also in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool guy, Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I did think that the makeup was pretty impressive. And I feel like, for me, it was kind of like, almost reaching like an uncanny valley kind of thing where it was like so good that it was making them like look a little off-putting because it's like you could still tell it was a human, but it looked like so realistic, like an ape, and it was just like making me kind of
you were
feel
yearning
like,
for the uncanny valley here.
No, I was saying it was freaking me out because it was like
the original makeup.
Real. Do I want to have sex with these apes?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
The original makeup covers their mouth with like prosthetic but uses more of their human nose, whereas these ones cover their noses more and make their noses more ape-like but use more of the human mouth. And I think that's what is throwing me off. They try also, all the women are like smooth and have like no wrinkles, which is if you Google like baby chimpanzee, it's still all wrinkled because that is what their skin is like. But because they're like, we want them to be sexy, they like smooth out all of the women's skin, and then yeah, like,
and they don't have like the sideburn.
No, yeah, God like forbid,
mutton chop hair, which is iconic to the ape makeup, right. I think.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. I spent a lot of time just being like, what? Why is this bothering me so much?
Apparently, when they were like, we hired Tim Roth, Rick Baker did the makeup, right? He was like, his nose is too big. We can't possibly, like, he's got a huge fucking nose. I don't know how to put that under ape makeup. Yeah. Oh, and they figured it out. And I think he looks good. Yeah. But, like, he doesn't look like Tim Roth.
No, not at all.
In a way that is like, Paul Giamatti looks like Paul Giamatti. The man was made to be an ape. Yeah. Like, he's perfect as an orangutan. And Tim Roth, you're like, where is he?
I think his makeup was most impressive. And it was like, I felt bad for him because he's like got to be so aggro the whole time. He was like never
an insane.
He never
person.
Has a. He's like hunched over and is always angry, and he never like has a smile on his face ever. It's like always like I'm going to murder someone right now. Any second, I'm going to kill
not
someone.
What I hire Tim Roth for?
Right? Yeah.
That tiny little man.
And like one of the stories in this insane Wikipedia article is that he got so angry when he found out that he had to do this whole scene with Charlton Heston because of Charlton Heston's NRA shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Tim Roth was like, I don't want to do this, but like, it's too late. Everyone's already in makeup. Like, I have to just get through this scene.
Heston's 92 years old.
Yeah, where he's my quote unquote father, and I have to just do a scene with him in the lines. But he's like, come out and said, like, if I knew he was going to be in the movie at all, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. Like, that's how angry he was, apparently.
I mean, the fact that he didn't even consider that Heston was still alive, and of course they would try and get him for something. Like, Tim.
Yeah, come on, sweetie. Tim. Yeah.
But it's, like, kind of insult to injury that it's a whole scene with just him. It's not, like, a smaller cameo.
It's
but
such a
yeah.
weird scene, too, because, like, Heston, at this point, like, big NRA guy, and that scene is, like, guns are so bad. And they make humans bad.
Yeah. Right.
Guns are the problem with humanity. Like, it's a weird scene strange. That he showed up and got in a fuck ton of ape makeup and was like, I'll do it.
Like, it leads me to believe he didn't know what was happening.
He was very old.
Yeah. He was just like,
Time before time.
Not to be confused with the lamp before time. Like,
So close.
I love Charlton.
In the time before time.
He's so good.
Yeah, I mean, and now that you say that, because like Tim Roth, he also has his character has to come in and like bow to him basically,
right.
And show like affection.
Yeah,
it's like that must have been so.
But I didn't even know until after that when I read about it that that was Charlton Heston.
Oh, really?
He's not.
I didn't. Know
I mean,
either.
Unless you heard about it, you could recognize him.
Yeah.
I mean, it did not make sense to me at all that he was doing the "damn you all to hell" line. I was like, why would an ape be the one? Yeah. Why would they choose to have an ape say it? But it's because it's Charlton Heston. They wanted him to say his line.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of lines. He could say all sorts of things. Right. That movie is full of lines.
He could have laughed at that little flag.
He could have been like, we were supposed to repopulate the earth with her. Oh, man. Well, okay, so Mark Wahlberg's in this movie, too.
He sure is, and I think he's good. Dead silence.
I think he looks very young.
His face is like,
I think watching this movie, it's like, boy, he has become a better actor over time, hasn't he?
He has always needed a good director.
Yes.
Right? He needs guidance. He needs a firm hand. He's not getting that here. I do think he has really strong moments of being scared, of being shocked, of like having the big emotional, like Heston-esque, like, what am I looking at? Stuff. I like it. I think it's smart that this movie doesn't try and just make him Heston again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a different type of astronaut. Mm-hmm. And he never takes his shirt off. Sad.
Sorry.
It was like a waste. If you're going to have a human person on the planet of the apes, they should be very naked.
Agree.
We got that in the first one.
Like, and almost
full frontal.
They're like, take the clothes off that man.
Well, it made no sense, too, because after he crashed and when he got out of the ship, his clothes were all, like, tattered and worn. And I was like, how did that happen? Like, under the spacesuit? Like, I was like, are they trying to show that it's been thousands of years? That doesn't make sense. Like, his clothes wouldn't age. Like, it was very weird. But the whole thing is that Colleen Atwood, Tim Burton's famous costume designer, was let loose on this completely unnecessarily. Like, nobody needs that many clothes in this movie, but she cannot be stopped. Like, the boy is wearing like a pan outfit, like a Peter Pan type thing.
All of the feral human clothing is like way too cute.
Right. She's got like gladiator wrap tie up sandals that go like all the way up to her thighs. And like,
it was 2001, to be fair.
Even the ape clothes.
Wearing a push-up bra.
Yeah. All the ape clothes are just way too much for them to be living in this like quote unquote semi primitive society. It's like, oh my God, this is crazy.
I mean, the main problem with the movie, in my opinion, is that the human beings just like all talk to each other.
Yes,
all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah, they can all talk.
It's a real problem.
I was like, so the only thing special about Mark Wahlberg is that he knows some other things?
Yeah. He has a gun?
Maybe slightly smarter?
In the original, you can forgive ape society for thinking humans are essentially like dogs, wild dogs, because they don't talk and they barely wear clothes and they're like messy little fucks.
Yeah.
They hate them, right? It makes sense. They have a full society in this movie. They're talking to you, same language. Just like they speak a different language or make guttural barks. Like
it's crazy.
And
they're not
and
speaking
Tim
Portuguese.
Roth is opening mouths and going like, "Where's your soul? What do you have? It? You have a brain in there? Yeah. They speak, baby. They speak."
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's bizarre.
I did think that was an odd choice.
What are the choices being made?
Yeah, well, and like the human society and like the slavery is already like advanced enough that they have like the drama between like house slaves and house humans and regular slave humans that are living out in the tribes or whatever. Which like, so it just It's a lot.
It's very weird. Very weird. But yeah, so this one also, there's time travel immediately. We got time travel. The other one had time travel, but not quite as in a... It wasn't like flying this convenient time cloud and disappearing.
Yeah, the half line curve. Where.
Yeah. This one made more sense scientifically. This is just like a random, like, I don't know. Who knows?
And he's just like, he's just not on Earth, too. It's this other planet completely.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I gotta say too, there's a pretty great jump scare in the beginning when the opening of the movie is like this crazy Danny Elfman like score thing where they're showing all the intricate designs of General Thade's armor or whatever. But then it opens up with this somewhat hilarious sequence of Pericles, the only character I emotionally bonded with throughout the film.
must have been rough when his ass got smacked.
I was like, at the end of the movie, like, this poor real chimpanzee, I don't know what the fuck is happening. So sad. But he's like trying, you think he's flying a spaceship for real, and then he like starts to crash and he's freaking out, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like Mark Wahlberg steps into frame of what you think is like not a screen, and I was like,
Wahlberg!
He got me. That was great, but yeah. So I was just trying to set up kind of like how we got here in the first place.
Yeah, I did like too how
since it comes
Mark
back.
Wahlberg got a video postcard from his friends who were at MTV Spring Break.
Speaking of the novelization.
Oh yeah.
We weren't speaking of it. But
no, we want
that
to.
Scene in the novelization, he like gets a card from his mom who's like, okay. Hey, but like, we miss you. We love you. I'm a normal mom. And the fact that they took one look at Mark Wahlberg and were like, frappros.
Hey, feels man, good, when you come right. Hey, brah. Look, they got married. Oh, shit. Yeah.
You'll never see those people again.
No. Who knows where he, who knows even
think
where
of all
are.
The lost spring breaks.
Yeah.
Maybe they got turned into apes. I don't know. The movie doesn't make sense.
I did read a thing that, speaking of Mark Wahlberg and his performance in this, that he turned down the Matt Damon role in Ocean's 11 in order to make this movie.
For some reason, actor
like, would be good in that. I'm here to stand up for Mark. I think he would be good.
Sure?
I think at this in moment in his career... He has this. He could do what Matt Damon is doing in Ocean's 11. Perhaps not as successfully as Matt, who's perfect and beautiful, and we love him. But he has that sort of like sweet boy, innocent thing. He can play like, oh, I'm just like a nice kid. You know what I mean?
I would
let me do the thing. Come on.
I would say I agree. No, I agree with you. It is.
I don't
weird.
Know if I buy it.
You know, it is weird that he went like Three Kings and did Boogie Nights, and like that. Like he's good in those. And then there's like 5 years after this where like they like, nope, you're now our dumb pretty boy, and we're gonna make you bad in all these movies.
Yeah, the first like five actors in the Wikipedia page, even you know how it normally says their character and how they were cast or whatever.
Yeah.
It just says what was the awesome role they turned down in order to do this. So I feel like the producers of this and the scheduling were just very rigid, and they were like, "Nope, you can't do it. You gotta cancel everything." Like, so I don't know.
This is gonna be the biggest movie of 2001.
Yeah. Roth was gonna be Aragorn.
It was something. Yeah, it was something like that. I think it was Snape. Right?
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Severus Snape. Yeah.
That's which, like, what?
Different.
Yeah.
Okay, different. If there's a whole list of these, let's run
just
down
do it
the
really
choices.
Quick. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it was Ocean's 11, Severus Snape. What was the other one you said? Scheduling.
Lena Bonham Carter was going to be in a fulfilling loving relationship.
Was going to be
Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael
character.
Clark Duncan, yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's it.
Okay.
I think that's it.
But yeah, it was just strange because the articles don't usually do that, like for all of them. But yeah. So what else about the novelization?
This is not the best of the novelization.
Okay.
Like, it's very,
unsurprised.
This is, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, some novelizationists can take the bones and really build something good off of those bones. And when the bones are bad, it's harder to do something good with them. And I kind of liked this novelization, but it's not adding a lot, really. Although it has a lot of scenes. We were talking about how when Ari is, like, very horny for Leo Davidson. A name I remember, thank you. In the book, there's a lot of Leo going like, there's no way. There's no fucking way. This is weird and gross, and I can't even fathom thinking about it because she's an ape. And meanwhile, there's a human woman here who is also kind of off-putting to me. Like, it's a very, like, the balance of horniness in that book is like, less horny? What if we got a little less? Yeah. What if this character looked at it and was like, ew.
Yeah.
That's inappropriate to be horny in this situation, so I shan't. Yeah. It's interesting.
But in the movie, he's like, but you know what? I'll make out with both of them before I leave forever.
Yeah. He was like, I can't take you with me, but we can mac. Yeah.
Let's see. One of the other things I appreciate about this movie is, like, we talked a little bit about this in the last film, where we got to, like, kind of see, you know, some of the apes move around more like apes and climb in trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. I like the movement of the apes in this, where they're like all over the place. Even that
so
part where they're like
jumping.
Tyler doesn't like.
I disagree. I feel like that Tim Burton got, like, he had his friend in the old wire work, like, guild, and he was like, we're on tough times. Like, we need to get the like every one of my guys needs a job, and he's like,
is there,
you know,
ever
what?
A point when Tim Roth, like, gets up and down from doing yeah, anything, just like, that isn't a 6 foot.
He's like,
leap.
You know, monkeys can jump, and like they can jump like fucking Power Rangers. Like, yes. It's insane. They're,
well,
they're flying
okay.
around.
There's
all over
goofy
the place.
Ones like when the sex apes jump up to the chandelier and it doesn't fall or anything.
The sex apes.
Well, that's like all I know them from.
Right. Sure.
The sex apes. But I like that part when they're like going around door to door and it's like, instead of just standing on the ground, like the one ape is like latched on and like knocking on the doors and like swings off. I don't know. Some of that kind of stuff I liked.
You know, Tyler, now that you mention it, I think it might be that this movie was a gigantic pyramid scheme for stunt professionals.
Yes.
and ADs, because like when we do a child star check-in, like all of the children stunt actors come from three families.
There you go.
And all of their dads worked on the movie as stunt coordinators or ADs. Yeah. And yeah.
It so. almost feels like that Tim Burton didn't know what the second unit was up to in this movie.
It might be. Yeah. He's like, just go crazy. Go nuts.
I feel like too, like when the movie came out, like there was a lot of hype around like how they were running, like in the final battle sequence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember there.
It was hard to see. It was so dusty.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention that too. I just like how the apes were running on the ground and how that was like a big, like, whoa, how they do that? You know, I don't know. I feel like.
Well, this is also the first one where Terry Notary, the stunt movement coach,
yeah,
starts.
Ape man.
Yeah. And he is going to work on all the future ones that we are going to watch too. And he has a ape exercise class that you can take as well.
Oh.
I emailed him about it because I was trying to interview him, but he did not respond. And I don't think he's doing the ape exercise anymore because the domain did not bounce back that domain name. But yeah,
if you look on his Instagram,
you could see videos of like a class of like 20 people they have like these arm crutch things that they use, and they're like running on the beach as apes, and it's like an exercise course.
It's cool.
I'd like to have the King Kong class of how to use my
I mean, my goal,
my childlike proxy as a weapon.
My goal was to get an interview with him and also to force you, Tyler, to take the class.
Yes.
Like, 'cause I was like, Justin and I are not going to do it.
I would
maybe
do
we
it.
Could get Tyler
I
into the class. Yeah, but
I feel way too much shame.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh boy.
Are you guys like on the side of apes? Like, I know we're all like pro ape, but like, yeah. When you watch these movies, you're like, boy, I hope the apes win.
Or yeah, like, usually. Because the humans are all horrible. There's never any good ones.
Mm, like. Fascinating.
Well, yeah, well, wait, why would you be pro-human? Are you pro-human?
Yeah, I am notoriously, you guys don't know me. You've never met me in your lives. I am like anti-robot.
Yeah.
I am fair. A notorious like, if that's not a human being, kill it. Yeah. Like, I hate E.T.
Yeah.
I don't like gremlins.
Yep.
Smush them. And so... making a note. I understand.
Yeah. No.
Don't even worry about beating that drum and just kill it.
I would beat E.T. to death with hammers.
I mean, we need people like you because if it were up to bleeding hearts like me, the humans would just get killed.
Yeah, we're all the people standing underneath the spaceship in Independence Day.
I listened to your Planet of the Apes 1, original episode, and you guys don't like Taylor. You think he's an asshole. I love him, and I want him to thrive.
In the novelization, did they talk about how Taylor wanted to repopulate the Earth with that
there
one lady?
There is not a novelization of the original.
Right. So, it's just the book.
But like, in Beneath the Planet of the Apes, he's so lovely to Nova. They clearly have a true connection. Brent shows up, they hug, they're friends, and I'm like, I love human men! You know, like, I'm pro-human. I'm pro-Leo Davidson, you know what I mean?
We were probably pretty anti-Taylor. Yeah.
And it's, I get it, he's a jerk. Yep. But he has a big old underbite. I love him. I've gotten into the habit. We've done so many Ape episodes and I'm like, yes, my boyfriend, George Taylor. Like my beloved boyfriend, George Taylor. And his teeth that get worse. I just wanted to ask. It's just a question I've started asking.
That's fair.
I mean, I feel pretty anti-ape about this movie.
I'm pretty anti-ape about this
movie. The apes here are very
They're
nasty.
They're like so aggressive. Yeah. Super aggressive. They're very mean. They go to giant battle against the humans for no reason, basically. Well, I don't mean. It's because they were going to go to Kalima or whatever.
Is that the same as the Indiana Jones god? Okay. The whole time I was like, isn't this the thing? Yeah.
Except it's I think they say it slightly differently in the movie. It's like Kalima or something.
Kalima,
like
which is just
a
dusty sign that says caution live animals.
That was so funny. I was like, what? As soon as they're
did
like,
nobody like wipe this off a stiff breeze?
I know. Like,
as soon as they're like, we can't let them get to Kalima, I was like racking my brain.
I knew. I was thinking, is it California?
I was like, I've seen this movie. Like, what is it? I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Caution live animals. Do you think that the way they have designed that spaceship and the way they come up to it, that you're supposed to, for a second, think that is the
Statue of Liberty?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's kind
of
what I thought.
It was the sword space station from Marvel, essentially, right? Like, So.
I wish
all
they
hail
would
Simos.
Do less winking.
Yeah.
Like, I think in some ways, and I haven't read the Boulé, but it seems like this is like a new adaptation of the Boulé as much as it is like a remake. It's not really a remake, right? It's doing the same sort of like concepts in a new structure, sort of. And I would really love them to be like, and also those old movies don't got nothing to do with us. Like, just like, do your own thing, Tim. Like, you don't have to be cute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would say the only thing really that I think is more hearkening to the Boulé than the movie is the kind of cyclical of like these apes and this society have started because of my ship and the humans and the apes that I had. Like, there is an element of that in that book, not exactly done the same way, but I could see an argument for the way that this movie ends trying to harken back more to that, because in the book, like, Taylor or whatever his name was in the book, gets back to Earth and it's also taken over by apes. And then the fact that he was just on a different planet the whole time and not Earth is also like from the book. Mm-hmm. So,
That's interesting.
Are there any,
that's so interesting.
Here's my argument though. What if we say it's a different planet full of apes? What if it is Earth though?
Right.
What if it's still also Earth?
We don't know how magnetic space storm works.
Yeah. I'm so ready to like get up on a little soapbox and be like, here's how it can fit into the original timeline. And then get shot immediately. Like, I'm willing to do it.
So what are some of the other most like batshit weird things in the novelizations from the first five movies that we wouldn't have known from just having seen the films?
Oh, what a question. I mean, all of them are good. I think every single of the original, there's the four novelizations from the original five movies are really good. They're rich. They're written by like genuine sci-fi authors and a guy who wrote like race relation books. Really, really interesting stuff. Right. There's like a ton in Conquest, where Caesars are like, actually human beings are disgusting, and you get so much interiority about like his journey through the like retraining facility, which is so rich and valuable. That stuff's really cool. like Escape is great. You get so much about Dr. Otto Hasslein and Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Nice.
You know, just like a delight of like, you know, that villain from Young and the Restless. Well, here's like 30 pages of his life, his family, his religious philosophy. Like it's all, it's just, I wish I had like made a list of good
details,
but they're
no,
all
great.
Really like rich texts. Okay. That are, and even Battle, which is not a great movie.
Yeah.
Right. That's a kind of a rough one. Mm-hmm. I think that that book is working pretty hard to like find you something. And also the mutants are there. So can we complain?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I do. What like, if this movie had mutants in it?
That'd be better.
Right. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't find a way to bring the mutants into it. Yeah.
It's like one thing to talk about maybe
it's
is like
for the sequel, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, you know, through all of the original films, they've been very heavy on social commentary and everything. Do you feel like this movie kind of continues that or pushes it to the side for spectacle? Or
I mean, what? I think it thought it was, but yeah, it's, like it doesn't come out and say it. Like you have the gun being like this artifact that is mm-hmm. supposed to be like this warning to them, but also like they don't really know what it is or what it does or how to use it, so therefore it doesn't mean anything.
It's also like a sci-fi laser gun that shoots fireworks.
Right.
Yeah. I did think with the gun, I did think it was like mildly interesting and powerful to see the scene where General Thade is like finally wielding it after having figured out how the trigger works. I thought that was kind of a cool moment, but overall,
interesting.
Like, I mean, just to see, because we, you know, I guess we have seen in the original one, apes just have guns.
Yeah,
but it was interesting to see in this world, like one kind of like finally hold one up and be like, you know, something. It's like you see something clicking in him, like I can use this to kill someone.
It was kind of. I know you talked about the running and all that, but another thing that it said that was that Tim Burton and the crew wanted it to be that they had more like that they went ape or had more ape shit moments tantrums or whatever, which like definitely do. But also then you're sort of saying that like the tantrums are inherent to the nature of apes, animals themselves in all worlds, which I don't really know if that's the case or if they do that because that's how we're treating them or the circumstances arise in which.
And certainly we're not immune to tantrums.
Yeah. So
we just freak out when we see water.
But it was sort of weird how like, that when they finally get him, he knows it. Learns how to use the gun. They basically trap him in a bulletproof room and then he just goes insane and starts like shooting all the bullets.
But then he goes into the past and becomes Abraham Lincoln.
That's right. I don't know how that happens.
He learned from that experience.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for one of the bullets to like kill him, but it never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just kind of goes into submission of like, I guess I'm, you know, in a cage.
Now. Yeah. Well, and it's really weird because in the beginning of the movie, Mark Wahlberg gets captured along with the hot girl and Kris Kristofferson, who's her old dad and like her little brother and all sorts of other people. And it's like not clear that they can talk. And so you're thinking, it's probably just like so how weird. The other movies were. They can't talk. So he's not sure if he should talk. He talks to them. None of them answer for some reason. And then until they're separated, Kris Kristofferson is separated from his daughter. And he says like, don't be scared or whatever. And then you're like, oh, so they can talk?
Wait, is it
just them two that can talk? Like, are them two like in charge or smarter? And then like, the movie keeps going for like another hour until you find out, no, actually everyone can talk. Like, so it's very weird, but they're all in cages and we see Thade come with his niece and she buys a little girl to be her slave/pet. And I was...
Compliments of the house.
Oh, thanks, Paul Giamatti. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, sweet, kid. Like, I'll get to do a child star check-in on this little ape girl. But no, it's just Deep Roy.
It's too much makeup to put on a child.
Well, many other ape kids in this movie, but the one with the biggest role, with the most ornate costume and little barrettes in her hair, and gets to pick out a slave.
And an amazing bed?
Yeah, it's just Deep Roy. So this was the beginning of a beautiful friendship, I think, here, too.
Oh, I forgot, too, we got to see ape dentures.
Ape dentures, that's true. We did see ape dentures.
it like a lot of the Ape City and the effect shots in this, it's interesting that like Fellowship of the Ring came out the same year as this.
Oh god.
And like there is still like there's a bunch of like armor and matte paintings and like wide shots and of Ape City, and it almost is like they're on the Fox lot and they're like, Jackson's getting all this shit over there. Like we need to get like more armor. Like we need to have like a big ground battle. Like it feels really interesting of just exploring like the fringes. Cause like Burton's given pretty much a blank check to make this movie, and what the fringes of kind of filmmaking magic were up to in 2001 and how there are similar results in these two movies, not to the same effect.
Yeah. Even at the end, when all seems lost, Gandalf shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just a chimp in a space pod.
I love that they're like in the middle of this like crazy battle, and all of a sudden it's like, oh fuck, there's something in the sky, and then like it comes down, and everyone's like, what the fuck is this? Holy
shit. I mean, I know you've seen the movie before, but I immediately when it showed something shiny in the sky, I was like, it's gonna be that chip from the beginning of the movie. Like it was so obvious.
And I just love that Pericles opens up his mask and he's like pure of heart, and he just gives the thumbs up
and a smile,
and they're all like, all hail Seamus, all praise, and everyone stops fighting, and then he gets shit kicked out of him for no reason. He doesn't even know what's happening.
Honestly, I think if they're like, God is here, and it was like a tiny baby, I'd be like, fucking talking about, like, if I was General Thane, I'd be like, fuck this noise, like, no, it I'm is, in charge of this, yeah. this thing can't talk, this yeah. thing is a baby, this thing ain't got shit on me, I'm king of the castle
here. Yeah. Friends with Mark,
I mean, he does knock it about 100 feet into the air, yeah, up against the rock wall.
Why am I rooting for General Thane?
He just
Thane
wants to go
general.
Back to his cage and lie down and take a nap.
Okay, let's go explain evolution to the monkeys.
Yeah, but then conveniently, we should talk about the battle, by the way.
Okay, that was probably the coolest shot, was the giant thousands explosion. Of apes flying into the air.
I thought it looked hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like, you know, someone, you know, copy-paste on a bunch of bodies flying through the
yeah,
sky,
and it was
which
hilarious.
I know it's not how it works, but yeah. Whatever. Yeah, that's what it looked like. I did love that in this, the apes, like, you can tell that they're just crazy strong, because I thought it was so funny during the battle just to see them like swinging their arms and launching humans up in the sky, like boom, boom.
They
and you
do.
Get like, oh, this is why, you know, once the apes became intelligent, since they were so strong that they could just overpower the humans if they didn't have weapons or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Except Mark Wahlberg can take a real beating if they're this strong.
Well, he's got plot armor.
That's right.
Obviously, come
plot
on.
Armor.
he can't be killed. Okay.
Can apes actually not swim? That's not real, is it?
True. I don't think that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it's just made up for this. That's okay. True. Yeah. I mean, I guess it was like an interesting way to give the humans a little bit of an advantage or whatever, but yeah.
It just
it
seems
was
like
sort
a
of
weird thing.
Strange. Yeah. Are you Googling it?
I'm Googling apes.
Can apes not swim? Yeah.
No, I'm just assuming I'm going to see an adorable video.
I think it
video.
Might be true that they don't like to get their fur wet, but I think they can Fair. Swim.
No, okay. They can swim.
I would think
especially because they had the horses also, so it's like, yeah. To take the, for the river or whatever.
You know, okay, so like.
Look at this little guy.
Aww. Tyler's showing us a picture of a little ape in a swimming pool. Yeah.
You know, the original movies have the pet plague, right? All the pets right. die, and humanity goes batshit fucking crazy because yeah. we need to have a little guy in our house. Yeah. So we adopt apes. That's a problem.
That feels true.
It does feel true. I genuinely am like obsessed with the pet plague yeah. as like a concept of like, yeah, that's why humanity is in any way decent because yeah. we have little guys live in our house. And like, it's like taking care of a baby. You got to be kind to a little thing that's defenseless, and that makes you a kinder thing yourself, right? The point is, in this apes, they have horses, like, What else? What other animals? These are questions I always have. The original yeah. Planet of the Apes, are there birds?
Yeah.
And then in Beneath, there are birds. Yeah. And I'm like, well, what does it mean? What yeah. does it mean?
They even ask him at some point to define a zoo, and he won't. He just yeah. says like, yeah, apes are, there's not that many left, so we keep them in a cage. Like, he,
right? like if this is not Earth, what other animals? Yeah. Why did horses develop, but like not dogs? Like,
great question.
This is a... a world building question that the moment it's not irradiated Earth, I have a million of
right,
them.
Yes.
Right.
Why can't the horses talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Planet of the horses.
Planet of the horses.
The nightmare of my life. Yeah. Yeah. So scary.
They're all like really long arms and legs standing up. You know?
Hey, Jack.
Talking, I'm already scared of
nuke
horses.
It from orbit.
Like, yeah.
Talking
don't
with
go
peanut
there.
Butter in their mouths. Yeah.
I wanted the scene of, look, Tim Burton, if you're going to have to wink and do all the things to reference the old movies, where's the scene where Ricardo Montalban teaches them how to ride horses?
Right.
Yeah, where is the ape circus?
Yeah.
With human
there was that
tricks.
One guy with like a, you know, a little person yeah. collecting tips or whatever. So what else is there to talk about? I mean, we're almost about to the ending, I guess.
Okay, well, do you want to hear about all of
yes,
this?
Yes, the child stars?
Like, ape children. Nepotism.
I want to hear about the kid who's... father told him to throw stones at humans.
Okay, so Peter Pan or Pan, whatever yeah. kid, Burn is his name.
Yeah,
with an I. Burn with an I.
We know.
Lucas Elliot Ebrel. He did a few more stunt things and acting, but now he's primarily a director and cinematographer of music videos, short films, and feature films. Including artists like Shiny Toy Guns. He did a couple videos for them.
Oh.
So that's what he's up to. Little Human Girl is Callie Crowell. So Mr. Crowell, it was somebody on the crew, like a stunt coordinator, second unit, AD, and whatnot. And so Callie plays Little Human Girl, but then there's also Ape Soccer Kids, of which there are six, mm-hmm. and
that
her two brothers.
Ape
yeah,
soccer.
They're
ape
playing. Soccer. I think the soccer is when they're making fun of the humans, and Helena Bonham Carter like gets up in their face and is like, "Who said you could throw a ball at a human or whatever?" You know, in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
yeah, sure. Not the basketball scene.
Okay,
but it's ape soccer, and their feet yeah. are shaped different, so it's slightly different.
It was confusing.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so her two brothers, Cameron and Joshua, are also in the Ape Soccer Kid crew. And both of them still, all three of these kids in the Crowell family still, and the mom are all like in stunts and stunt coordinating. And the dad is still really active. So Callie, it was in Iron Man. And then is a driver and a coordinator most recently in films like Don't Worry, Darling, and shows like Twisted Metal.
Oh.
Cameron is still active. Some of his recent credits include Geostorm.
Hell yeah.
And The Rookie. Sounds like nice. This whole family is very active in the Rookieverse.
Yep.
Joshua was in films like Star Trek Insurrection and also works on The Rookie. So this whole family, like, it's pretty much like they told the stunt crew in the 80s, like, just bring your kids and we're gonna put the ape makeup on them and they can play soccer for a scene. Because then there's also the Haberstad family, mm-hmm. In which dad Jeff also worked on the film. So Allie Haberstad played Girl Pet, so mm-hmm. she's the little girl in the cage, I guess. She was acted in things like Ally McBeal and The Happening, but then she left the industry. She went to USC. She was in the Global Medical Brigade in 2014. She raised $1,727 for that charity. And in 2018, she got married to a guy named Ross Lindley, and she now works in advertising. I saw her registry. Yeah. And then
did you send her again?
No, because it was 2018, so it's no longer.
The internet's terrifying.
Yeah.
Supply lines. I don't
yeah.
know.
And then her brother Shane, though, he is still in the industry working with the dad.
Also on The Rookie.
Yeah, no. He is like a Marvel person. So he's both in the MCU, but also in movies like Madam Web.
Ah.
So yeah, he's still working in stunts. And then the other family, the other two families, the Peitzmans, their dad was a visual effects artist on the movie. And they are twins. They went to La Cañada High School and played lacrosse at an elite level. Mm. And Molly now works in restaurants as an operations manager at a Portland place called Stacked Sandwich Shop. And then Hannah is still in the industry, but she left stunts and she's now primarily a costumer for the Marvel MCU shows as well as Palm Royale. So not everyone stayed in stunts. And then another kid, Jesse Tipton, Mr. Tipton was an AD. And then Jesse did stunts all the way up till 2012 that I can see. And then he went to UNLV Reno, but I'm not sure what he does now.
UNLV Reno is not a thing.
Is it? Are you
sure?
There's
UNR and then there's UNLV.
Okay. It might've been UNR then. Okay. And yeah. I wrote it down wrong. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's my bad. But anyways, the entire cast of ape children and actual children was all just children of the crew, which is like, right. I guess it's cool. Bring your kid to work, but also then like, especially the ones that stayed in the industry for so long, just like, continuing to be cast by their dad over and over. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, like, right, I don't know. But whatever, you know.
So do you think that, and maybe they've touched on this in the novelizations, but maybe it's you know, new ground that we can explore. Do you think there was ever a point in the ape world where they're playing ape soccer or anything else that they're like, there's doesn't say in the rules that humans can't play? And there's like an Air Bud type situation.
Oh my God.
No, it's a human?
Yeah, a human Air Bud. Yeah,
Air Human.
Air Human.
I think the answer is no. Because the sacred scrolls say
the lawgiver, yeah.
Right? The lawgiver really put his foot
but
down.
But you haven't seen this kid play basketball.
They don't even mention the lawgiver in this movie.
They don't. Yeah. It's sad. Yeah. I missed him. There was one other kid I forgot to mention. Human kid number one. He's not related to anybody, but he was. he is a stunt driver in movies like Transformers: Rise of the Beasts. Wow. But he, actually, after this movie, when he was 16, he lost his leg in a freak trampoline accident.
What?
And is an amputee, wow, but a pro race car driver and still doing, whoa, stunts and stunt driving. Yeah. So he's really cool.
Trampolines are so dangerous.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the same thing. I was like,
so dangerous. Yeah. You should never let your
whenever
child
my daughter wants
one
to go on one, I'm like,
I wanted one so bad as a kid. My mom was like, you'll die.
You
can't.
You might.
My best friend in high school, we were jumping on a trampoline and she got double bounced and she shattered her ankle.
Yeah.
And just ooh, screaming, writhing in pain. And I was just like, sorry.
But anyways, Brett's doing fine for himself.
Yeah,
he's living a full life as a pro race car driver and that's stunt awesome actor.
So cool.
Do you think he tells the trampoline story? Or do you think he has a different story?
No, he tells it because okay, it's on his IMDb and okay, his website. And I'm sure he does speakers.
I think if you're a stunt driver, you don't want to make up that you
that's
like
true
lost your leg in a crash. Right,
right, right.
Or
right.
You're going to be like, freak trampoline accident.
Accident. Yeah, yeah.
Totally unrelated to my career.
Like they burned it afterwards, okay? The trampoline's dead.
I hope so, yeah. They took it out back in the yeah shot.
I got
it
revenge
out
on that trampoline.
So yeah, that's like all I have for the child stars, and I was super disappointed that the main child was just Deep Roy. So yeah,
that's
not fun cool.
Wow.
I mean, cool for Deep Roy.
I guess.
You're genuinely mad about it.
On his way to be an
they used
an Oompa
to put
Loompa
children under too much makeup. Makeup.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Child labor laws, get out of here. Let children suffer under ape makeup.
Well, they did for all the kids. Like, the kids of the crew did, but not somebody else.
Well, you know, at the end of the movie, Mark Wahlberg is like, look, there's a spaceship here. It only fits one person. I don't give a shit about any of these people.
I got some smooches to give.
Yeah, he gave out smooches to everybody.
I don't care about Pericles. He can go sit in his cage, yeah, whatever. He's
he
probably
hands
dying.
The champ over to Ari and what's her name? Dana?
Danae.
Like that.
They never say it, by the way. I only know from the caption,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's in the novelization. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like, hands over this baby. And it's like, you two girls do that. I'm gonna go buy some cigarettes and I'll be back. Yeah. Like, and these, I think it's the right move, honestly. Like, he's not adding anything to that relationship. Those two chicks should get together. They yeah should look into each other's hearts and be like, we can build something. He's not helpful. He's made that very clear.
Also, like,
this is our world. Our baby ape.
Also, like, Pericles is, like, definitively not Simos, right? Like, because the guy.
No, he's not. They yeah just said.
Because
no,
the guy on yeah the recording says, like, oh my gosh, Simos has taken over, and he's like too smart.
If
and
he was named Simos, it would give up the game of yeah the twist, so he yeah can't be.
I think right Simos, maybe we saw him in the beginning, and he was one of the other
yeah
ones.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess,
cages,
yeah, maybe yeah he could go back and pause on all the cages.
Yeah, and figure
and
it out.
It was really sad when Pericles went, like, he just immediately ran. He's like, I just want to sleep in my little bed.
See?
Right, because yeah he's programmed to want to go home.
And yeah he had a mate who had a baby.
So yeah
sad. Oh, like, right. He was supposed to be a dad.
That's probably Simos.
And he tried to help and just got punched in the face.
Yeah.
Very sad. I hope he's okay. I hope he's all right out there. Pericles. But anyways, yeah, Mark Wahlberg is like, I gotta get out of here, even though I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
And he just flies. Doesn't want to be there anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't know where the fuck he thinks he's going.
Flies off into the time portal.
There is a whole subplot about Michael Clark Duncan and Carrie Fukunaga, like, not wanting to be, I don't even
they have
know.
A
like
religious schism. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. Which is crazy to say.
Which
out
was
loud.
Really crazy, but I said the wrong guy.
Carrie Tagawa.
It's, not, it's Carrie Tagawa. Yeah. Fukunaga is the other guy.
Yeah. Carrie Hiroyuki Tagawa.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's this whole thing, and I just wanted to mention it because I do think that Michael Clark Duncan was like my favorite of all the apes.
He's like, putting in work.
He really
in
puts in the work. Like, he had the best makeup out of everybody. Like, and I don't know if it's just that they made him a better set of like ape teeth and a mouth, or maybe he just naturally has a bigger mouth than some of these other actors. But yeah, I think just some of them, when they had smaller mouths, they reminded me of like Bad Sonic or whatever, like their human teeth on their ape body just like was not right. But he really went ape and he just acted more than a lot of other people.
That's
in
true.
The ape.
Character has like a real arc too. Yeah. I'm not sure all the ape characters do. He's like looking at his friend General Thade and going like, am I loyal to you? Am I loyal to the concepts of ape religion? What does it mean to have a soul?
Yeah. And my mentor is left and
Yeah.
So. I did feel bad that after all that, General Krull's character just gets beat to death.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You're like, yeah, all right. That's, yeah. I guess that's it for him.
Yeah. Okay. So Mark Wahlberg flies out. He thinks he's pinpointed the same wormhole, which is that even.
Line curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm following the dots. Beep, beep, boop. Here we go. And he's like, he comes out by Saturn.
Ships real fast.
He's
apparently.
Like, nailed it. I see Earth. Around. I see Earth
well,
over
but
there.
You think if he came out of the same wormhole, like, why isn't the ship there? They immediately went after him?
Yeah. It's a time issue.
Yeah. Nothing makes sense.
Timey, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Timey wimey.
The things some that reason, go in first come out last.
Okay.
And how that works, we just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, Christopher Nolan made a whole movie spun off from this.
Okay, we've recently established that I have not seen Interstellar and that they're re-releasing it in theaters this summer.
Yeah, you gotta go.
I'm like an Interstellar hater because I don't understand it, I think. Probably.
Oh, ooh, okay.
I also didn't enjoy it.
I'm not having a good time. And everyone was like, well, this time. So I was like,
you famously can't understand it if you don't have kids.
Children. Yeah, I've heard that.
If you don't have kids, you cannot.
I heard that.
Can't do it. Can't understand the movie.
Ah, well, that explains it. I'm a sexy young person with no kids.
Childless millennial. Yeah.
It's your own fault. If you want to like the movie, have a child.
Could I interest you in a Pericles?
I think you have two. This is a thing I like about this movie is that it acknowledges that chimpanzees will fucking kill you.
Yes.
And so, no, I don't.
You don't want a Pericles.
They'll rip your face off.
It'll be really chill for like 2 years, then it'll get dementia, then it'll rip your arm off.
God, Tyler.
Hard pass.
Dark.
To like shake hands with a chimpanzee at a zoo or whatever.
Or it'll light your stir fry on fire at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that happened in
Revolution.
In Conquest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
The restaurant scene, they like
in the quiet quitting epidemic.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, well.
He lands.
Yeah, he sets his sights. I must land in Washington, D.C.
In the mall.
What is the joke? How good is the joke that Mark Wahlberg's a shitty pilot? Yeah. Like, Pericles lands perfectly.
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg crashes his ship both times.
He doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
It's so funny. No.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the best pilot on this ship. Yep.
Crashes into the mall, the National Mall there. And he's right in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and for some reason he walks into it. Yeah. I was like thinking, like,
why would you go see the Lincoln Memorial?
I was like,
have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to walk in.
I was like, could he already see from outside that it looked weird, and that's why he walked in? Or he's just like, I don't know. I haven't been here for a bit. I'm going to walk in.
Yeah.
He's feeling patriotism.
That's right.
He wants to revisit the concepts of freedom, emancipation.
He walks in and he's like, looks right. Okay, I see there's a guy on a chair. Okay. Oh my God. It's an ape Lincoln. Okay, and then behind
I think
him,
Abe Lincoln looks amazing.
Looks pretty cool.
It's
actually
a really good vision.
If it was just Abe Lincoln without this inscription, we would not like this. Everything would have been different.
I disagree with that.
There's you disagree.
Okay, here's the here's the inscription. It says, "In this temple, as in the hearts of the apes for whom he saved the planet, the memory of General Thade is enshrined forever." Okay, does the fact that it's actually General Thade make it more complicated or less complicated?
More complicated. I think it makes it way worse because we were never on Earth this whole movie. So well, how did
where
Thade...
Are we?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Are
we? I, yeah.
Were there birds?
So it's just... It's,
there's a General Thade on every universe.
It opens up so many questions. It makes no sense. I think Tim Burton came out and said, like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense because I was going to explain it in the sequel or whatever. Like, you know... It,
again, the things yeah, that go
that's
in
a
first
cop out.
Come out
that's
last.
Right.
Thade goes in second, he comes out first. He takes over Earth. He frees all the apes. Congratulations, Ape Earth.
I guess, yeah, but they didn't even have they didn't have air travel or space travel.
So you did understand Interstellar.
Yeah. All right, you got it.
Whoa, whoa, what's happening? Yeah.
It's my favorite movie. For me.
So yeah. I mean, yeah, what are you?
I honestly have no idea.
Okay.
It's baffling to me. I just enjoy seeing the apes like in modern, like somewhat
yeah,
modern
police
day,
car,
like, police cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the ones that like looked like they were out shopping, and they're like, "Oh my god, what are you doing?" And then other ones are like taking photos.
Yeah. Does the novelization offer any insight into this?
No, the novelization ends as he leaves the planet of the apes. It has none of the epilogue in it.
Okay, is this because the novelizations come out before the film?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is them like keeping a secret.
Oh my god.
A glorious secret.
Wow. Okay.
I wish the novelization was like, and here's why this happens.
Right.
Here's the explanation. I mean, we must assume that General Thade crashes on Earth in 1850 and becomes president.
Like, that is the only assumption.
I guess.
Or unless the Lincoln Memorial
so
was there
much,
and they took
and
down
they,
just the...
just replaced the head. Yeah. Maybe.
And the foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like the rest of the town is the same. The rest of technology is the same, which yeah, to me implies like some level of human development.
And also we very clearly see the Washington Monument, which yeah, is not changed. But what should they have changed it to?
A banana.
is that too obvious?
First thought, best yes, thought.
A giant banana?
No,
here's
the
same. Here's my beef with this movie, right? We get one ape memorial, right?
Yeah.
You cowards, just go to Mount Rushmore. Give us...
Oh, four apes.
Yeah, but then you gotta make up fake heroes that we haven't seen yet. I love that the wiki
no,
says
you
like...
Don't. No, you don't. You don't have to. Because you have Thade, he's a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
You get a orangutan, a gorilla,
yeah,
and then one more of yeah, any of them. And then you're like,
what if
done,
one of them was yeah, like a cyborg?
Like a lady.
A cyborg.
A lady.
A lady.
A lady ape. Or like...
A human.
Hear me out. A mutant.
A mutant.
A thin face.
A malformed
yeah,
mutant.
Yeah. A radioactive freak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cowards.
They could have done
again,
it.
Again, I am the number one lover of Beneath the Planet of the Apes of all time. I'm very pro mutant. They are mm-hmm, fucking sick freaks.
Yeah, agree.
And I think they should be in this movie.
I almost great, thought they were going to because that one guy that they show that's like on the screen going like, "Mayday, we need help." It looks like his face is all
yeah,
fucked up.
I think he's just old.
Yeah.
Were they trying to show that he was rapidly aging as like they were moving through this storm? Like I feel
no,
like
I think they were just on that planet for a really long time until okay, they died out, and yeah, it was the same guy, the same actor who was like the captain or whatever.
They should get to the crashed spaceship and realize there's a Beneath the Planet of the Apes under there.
Right.
Like, let's just cram it.
They should sing that "All Things Bright and Beautiful" song again.
Yeah, and then like, oops, bomb.
Yeah.
Time to go back, Tim Burton.
I feel like, isn't Mark Wahlberg constantly talking about like the radioactive core of his ship?
And then, yeah,
right.
That's
like,
what they blast
like,
everybody
ah,
with.
The Alpha
yeah,
and the Omega, they're right, gonna do it. Yeah, yeah. Blow it up.
I know.
It is oddly divorced from the atom bomb, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's like basically no social commentary at all, yeah, in my opinion.
I mean, I gotta imagine. So we said that Tim Burton was trying to put in all the things they were too scared to do in all the past ones, right? But I gotta imagine that part of the reason he maybe tried to make it so sexy, other than just, you know, liking it, was that in the second one, he was going to finally do the ape child hybrid that has been teased in the development of every single movie. Like, they're like, we got to do an ape human child. We got to do an ape human child. And then they're always like, nah, don't do it.
The
it's too weird.
Implications are too weird.
Yeah.
It is weird. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have talked about it, but like the decency of the original movie to be like, and Taylor won't sleep with Nova.
Right.
Yeah.
She is an idiot baby.
Yeah.
We just can't cross the line.
Right.
Like, it's just too much to be like, and then this ape and this person did it.
They spent the whole movie trying to make you think that like Ari is so into it that it is fine.
And nowadays, think about what's going on down there, period, let alone like,
I also did read that
there would be endless articles about it these days. Everyone would be like, that's the only thing people talk about now.
Yeah. Before Helena Bonham Carter came on, and then after she came on, like, the Ari character was supposed to be like a princess and her dad was supposed to be like a king, which, like, I guess she wanted to, oh, let's make it like political instead. And she's like liberal and she's like an activist or whatever, which I feel like they still could have done that with her as a princess. Mm-hmm. And then that general being in love with her and wanting to marry her would have made a lot more sense to me. Because as it is, it's like, why the hell does he want to marry her? She obviously hates his guts. They don't have like the same beliefs. Like,
you guys think they used to date?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, because it seems like he's been trying to get with her for a while. He's like, I'm in love with you, or whatever he said to her.
Yeah, they went to Ape Preparatory Academy. And
yeah.
She was like, then I went to college, and now I'm like a little more woke.
Yeah.
I just feel like...
Yeah, the ape society in this one, there's immediately too much going on. It's all really complicated. Everything else was like so easy to follow.
Yeah, well, and they have to like declare martial law instead of just sending out an army. Yeah, like, we have to vote on it.
There's senators, and there's not a clear like, oh, all the gorillas are just the warriors, and all the there's like different variations all over the place.
It is. We do get, you know, the first movie, there's literally
a courtroom drama.
Yeah. And like, there's a museum and things like that. But yes, this one is more confusing.
It's just too much.
But I don't know that it's more because it's more stuff. It's just like,
I just think you can see they changed it to be a senator and his daughter, but they didn't change all of the bones that were like written into the movie that it was a monarchy.
Sure.
So it's still, they still act like, you know, and the way the movie is set up is that it's just like a monarchy, but like, they don't actually do it the way that those other movies were like, we're going to have a council and argue about, you know.
And are they saying at the end that General Thade's family line is descended directly from Simos? Because Simos is the one who killed, like, got angry and killed all the humans in the first place.
I think that's what Zaius was saying.
Okay, that's kind of what that's what I thought.
I think we're thinking about it more than they did.
Potentially. I mean, like, has there ever been an episode where we didn't do that?
That's true. Also, just to, like, one final point on the crossing the interspecies line. Like, Mark Wahlberg's pelvis would just be dust.
Why would you go there? Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Because we're talking about the mechanics of it, and it's like, yeah, she's like, oh, like, nope, I killed him. Like,
what?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
I'm packing it until...
Immediately stop this conversation.
I mean, yes, correct. Honestly, yes.
I don't think I've ever said this in 251 deeper. Episodes to be like, absolutely
this is,
not.
This is the sound of me digging the hole deeper? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's that sound effect?
I don't have it.
I rescind my statement.
Oh my God. We have a guest.
This is the problem with opening the gate is that, like, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, okay, we're going to blame Tim Burton and we're going to pardon you.
I zoned out for 20 seconds and was like, if she's on top and she's doing it. I'm like, and then I was like, I don't think she would be. I don't think this is it. Because, like, the relationship dynamic, I don't think that's how they would do it.
Oh, God.
And, like, I don't want to
think that stuff eventually.
I don't want to think any part of it. I don't want to. I hate that it's in there now. I've never in my life have thought about that.
Oh, my God.
Not right.
Ever.
Okay, so where can people follow you on social media?
There's a new, is that what Beneath the Planet of the Apes was about? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, no. If the whole world hadn't blown up and beneath the Planet of the Apes, and if nobody got shot in the face, I think Taylor and Brent and Nova could have had a little thing.
Sure.
They're a little throuple, and I stand on that.
Repopulate the Earth.
Yeah, that wrestling scene between Brent and, and Taylor.
A little something going on.
Yeah.
Two guys who look kind of the same.
Yeah.
No.
And like, are you me?
And like, there's something, just because I didn't get the chance to do it due to my scheduling, this would have been all we talked about.
Right.
But there are points in that movie when Nova's like looking at Brent and she's like, okay. Yeah. She like fully checks him out a bunch. I mean, better teeth.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but I do have romantic love for Taylor. Mm-hmm. So I can have a hot side piece and my beautiful husband.
Yeah.
And then they like each other and can speak the same language. Good for them. They also can kiss. The future. Apes.
Whoa! It's the apes. It's true.
And that's what I want out of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
More ape sex.
I continue to see this new group of movies. Because I'm waiting.
It's like Challengers, but Planet of the
Apes. I was literally going to say, is this a prequel to Challengers?
The boys should kiss. Yeah, of course.
Brothel of the Planet of the Apes.
I'm just waiting for these new movies to end with like a spaceship crashes and then like Michael Fassbender comes out and he's like, what's going on out here? And I'm like, yes, he's back.
I would lose my mind.
Taylor.
That would be amazing.
No, no, it's me. It's David. Yeah, I have a little flute.
What can I fuck here? I've been to all the planets.
Again,
what's here to fuck?
I am pro human being. I want to see human men on these ape planets in loincloths. Bring it back.
Sassy Fassy in this franchise. Make it happen.
I think he's like a modern Heston. It was said to me and I was like, mind me. Like that's it. He has the teeth. Like he has it.
He already made out with himself in the Alien franchise. Yeah.
It's true.
Thank you. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping for. Okay. I want human beings back on the Planet of the Apes. I don't like looking at CGI apes. I like looking at human men.
Yeah. fair.
See what happens.
So this movie actually did really good, right?
It did pretty well, I think. Let's take a look.
Thank you so much the for critical response. Get on my
soapbox. Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you.
Please.
The critical response was not good.
Right.
But the box office, let's see. It said that it grossed $68.5 million opening weekend.
Mm. That's good, right?
And that's in July 27th,
2001.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So. It was the second highest opening weekend of 2001 after Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Take that, Tim Roth. You could have been Severus Snape.
But apparently,
I'm glad he's not.
Yeah.
Say it.
Apparently, it wasn't good enough for them to pursue a sequel.
Which is pretty crazy.
It was an expensive movie.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, my guess is that the public sentiment and critic sentiment was like,
you could blame 9/11.
We will not show up again. Yeah,
you could, I suppose, too, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I'm sure that they did, gratefully.
9/11 has a lot to do with apes.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, so there's no explanation for Ape Lincoln at the end.
Nope.
And there never will be.
Never.
Until the return of Michael Fassbender.
Never.
And sadly, he's not even actually called Ape Lincoln because it's Thade.
That was a fan creation.
Yeah.
An ingenious fan creation.
Right.
Just invert one letter and you're good.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's great.
Do you think that General Thade also got shot in the head in a theater?
Ooh.
Like, did he also have that happen?
I mean, that's kind of a prerequisite for the monument,
right? Yeah, I was going to say, how many things have to be the same for the monument to be constructed in the exact same
way? Ape or human assassin? Watch Manhunt on Apple TV Plus to find out.
What if it's an ape actor?
Yeah, we're talking Manhunt in 10 minutes.
What if it's an ape actor who performed as a human? His characters were human characters.
There you go.
You know, that is what has been missing from this franchise is a play within a film you know, like a Thor situation.
Just make sure that you guys head to
our ape American cousin.
Yeah. Head to Apple TV Plus right now to watch the new show Ape Hunt. About the assassination of Ape Lincoln.
That's good,
Oh my God.
Okay. Oh my gosh, this world is bleeding into ours.
That's right.
God. They're taking over.
So yeah, I mean, there's nothing to predict because there's no full-on sequel to this. We just reboot the whole thing.
That's right.
Well, you have books to read,
right?
You can read more about it.
That's true.
That's true. It's just two spinoffs from the. Oh my god,
I haven't read them yet.
I can't even imagine what those would be.
They appear to be prequels, to be honest.
Mm. Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What?
So does the junior novelization take out the horniness?
I haven't read it.
Oh, okay. Mm. We'll have to listen. Yeah, head to their podcast to listen.
I'm skipping that one so I can go see Challenger.
It's probably a great choice. Oops. The ape actors in that movie look great.
Yes.
Yeah, so like, I guess, 10 years later, we get Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. But
and now I have to look at photorealistic apes.
Yeah, I know.
And James Franco.
He's Academy Award nominated apes.
Just in the one.
Visual effects.
He dies of ape plague.
He does.
It's true.
Simeon
spoilers.
Flu.
Spoilers. Simaloo?
No, do not go there.
Anyways, before we get to what's coming next, we have a rating system or what?
Oh yeah, we sure do. How many greaser ape bong hits would you give 2001's?
I love when they run out and they're all like, yeah!
There's like a guitar riff. Yeah.
It feels like a rich, full world for that one moment.
The score, I did not like it. I hate Danny Elfman, famously, his work, and I didn't like it.
It doesn't sound very Elfman-y even.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of, this is like right before he does Spider-Man mm-hmm. and then Incredible Hulk and stuff. And you can hear some of that. Mm-hmm. And also you get the kind of like, this is the age of the CG opening sequence and all this stuff, and which happens in Spider-Man as well and Hulk. So I don't know. I could hear it. I could hear it in there, but it's not a good score.
There was no boys choir. Instead, they brought in Paul Oakenfold for the remix. Yeah, Paul,
at the height of his powers. Bring in Paul Oakenfold for a remix. Yeah. No, the score is not good. It's like basically this like recurring like percussion thing that kind of makes up.
But do you have it on vinyl?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
It's not one I would
good
buy.
Good for you.
I don't think I would buy that one. There's nothing to...
Yeah.
There's nothing to remember.
Paul Oakenfold.
There's no theme. There's no Pericles theme.
That's true.
Otherwise, I would maybe buy it.
Pericles.
Okay. This movie sucks. Okay. I'm gonna give it two groups of ape greasers hitting a bong out of 10. Because I think like there's a couple things. Like, yes, the makeup is really great. I think a lot of I personally like the ape movement and you know how they're portrayed in this.
Plus one for Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti. I love. No, you know,
we haven't spent any time on Giamatti.
I know. I mean,
who said he would kill his agent if he didn't get to play an ape?
It was. Yeah, I love that news was out. It's like so great that he just loved this role. But yeah, this movie after the amazing. Like five films before this, like, okay, there's even some like missteps in there, maybe a little bit, but just like, I don't even know what the heck is going on here. It's like, we dive into like a way more complicated ape world that doesn't make sense. There's just, the horniness is odd. The choice of like having all the humans talk, everything is weird. It's just like, what is the point of this version? What are we doing? Like, why are we doing these things differently? Why are we seeing this? I just don't really, you know, I went into this, Hannah and I talked about this a little bit before we recorded that, like, kind of went into this thinking, like, I haven't seen it forever. Like, maybe this is going to be one of those movies that I look back and watch it as an adult and be like, hey, there's, like, actually, like, legitimately good things. And on this podcast, we tend to be very forgiving to, like, sequels and stuff. This one, I don't think there's much to redeem.
No.
Not much to redeem. Yes, the ending is an insane ending that people still talk about, and I guess I would say that's probably the only like enduring thing from this movie. Two.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give it a two bong hits from Ape Greasers. Yeah, it's just, I think we talked a lot in the past five films how a lot of the coolest ideas and developments that they came up with were necessitated by low budgets and budget cuts and made them come up with some really cool things. And this one, they're like, you have all the money in the world to do this. And as a result, there's just no direction. There's no message, or it's not saying anything about anything really. Yeah. And so it just kind of loses all meaning in the spectacle, I guess, you could say. Like, and I think that like just ape makeup is not enough to, you know, like make the movie or why this movie should exist. Like, they could have said something, anything, you know, they have the gun thing in there a little bit, like just say it more somehow, you
it's
know,
like the wrong moment in time, like 2 years later. And you're making a movie about how like an unjust war is like, you can't justify invasion or whatever. Like, we're so close to something meaningful that you could say with Planet of the Apes. But we're like 6 months out from that.
And of course, the horniness, like you said, is super weird and just not for anything or anyone. I'm usually
like one person.
It's probably for someone.
I usually don't like Tim Burton generally. I guess I like Edward Scissorhands, and then after that I get sick of him and Danny Elfman and Helena Bonham Carter, you know, like, and I understand this is the beginning of this, but I don't like any of it, and so I did not like this.
Hey, at least Johnny Depp wasn't in this one.
Thank God.
that we know of.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can you, I mean, the he would have taken away from Giamatti, I bet, and it would have been horrible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm also going to give it, we're going to be in uniform agreement here. I'm going to give two bong hits from some ape greasers. I think that the thing, I agree with everything you guys said. The changes that were made to this, they seem unmotivated. Like, there's not a reason why all the people can talk. There's not a reason why we're kind of seeing it at this point in time. And I think that that's where it really falls short. It's like, there could be, there's a lot of interesting things. Like, apes is such a perfect metaphor for a lot of social commentary. Like, it just fits so many ideas so well, and you have to try really hard to just whiff completely on that, and this movie accomplishes that.
Yeah, this is out of 10, by the way, if we didn't make that clear.
I did know that.
Okay.
I am so going to give it like a 3.5.
Okay.
Like half a hit, and you're like, you know, like... I also really wanted to like this movie. I want it to be good. And I think the first half, I'm like on the level. I'm like willing to be won over. And then it whiffs it, as we're saying. It's not good. It has a lot of problems. I like Mark Wahlberg. I kind of like the ape shit. Like, it's got some ideas in it and some visuals that are compelling. And then I get super bored and the ending is nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not good. I can't say it's good. I can't be like Gentleman Six. Like, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's simply not anywhere near that. But I also, I'll watch it again someday in my life. You know, like somebody will be like, yo, have you seen this movie in a long time? And I'll be like, let's pop it on. You know, like,
I think that's true.
You know, I think I would say, like, you want to watch a different apes movie? If we're doing like the sequence someday, like if I have children and I understand Interstellar and we've done that, but it's time to watch the Planet of the Apes franchise, I'm not skipping this.
No.
I think this is important in the greater arc. Like, if you go from original apes, then you take like a 20-year break and they're like, what were we doing? We tried something, right? I think you got to see what we tried.
We tried a mistake.
Then go, okay, next we're doing Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Very grounded, very current day, very like realistic. And I think it's so in response to the deep failures of 2001 Planet of the Apes to be like, it's too apey, it's too makeup-y, it's too outlandishly sci-fi or whatever. That to say, like, okay, course correct, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You can't skip it. You got to see the bad thing to really appreciate the good thing.
It is a really good example.
You got to have the highs and lows.
If somebody ever asks, it's like, what's an example of a movie where it's like the climax of the movie is the lead character just getting the fuck out of the story as fast as possible.
There's a literal Deus Ex Machina, right? And then he takes that machina out of town.
Bye. He's just like, I'm over it, bye.
I'll kiss you, and peace out.
Smooches all around.
You want to see some really good makeup that the movie was so reviled it didn't get nominated for an Oscar? Yeah, here you go.
It should have been.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
But movie bad, and everyone hated it. Yeah, 3.5.
I feel like I can see why.
Maestro.
I can see why all of the apes enthusiasts that we interviewed like really don't like this movie, because it feels like the original series has such a legacy and like all of this like really powerful like Hollywood history and importance and blah blah blah, and then like this movie comes out and you're just like, what even, like,
right,
what are they even doing?
Why did you do that to Charlton Heston? He was so old, like, what a waste.
Yeah,
when all the references and winks don't mean anything. Like, you call the guy Zaius, but it doesn't have anything. And they have what's her name? Linda
Linda Hamilton.
Hamilton Nova. Sam. She's just like a random Linda, ape lady or whatever, or human lady. I don't remember.
I mean, we know. It but, is pretty dope that they got Charlton Heston on a deathbed sure. movie being like, no, being like, guns are bad.
Linda right. Linda Harrison.
So. Linda Harrison. Not yeah, Linda sorry, Hamilton. Not Linda yeah, Hamilton. Yeah, I was just listening to a yeah. Terminator yeah. pod, actually. but yeah, it just, and every time they do a line or a quote or a reference, it's just like, that's not the right, like, there's a character named Nova. But it's a random, like, the I think it's the ape lady that's doing mm-hmm. the striptease or whatever. It's just like, no.
When one of the apes is like, get your stinking hands off me, you damn dirty human, you're like, nobody would say that, but Charlton Heston.
Right.
That's an organic thing really? To that specific man.
Yeah.
The underbite's part of it.
Yeah. It really is.
Boy. Well, it sounds like we all watched this one and thought...
yes, but this one seems different.
But hey, good news is coming. We got Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Jesus. In Rise of the Apes.
Yeah, he's risen.
He's risen indeed.
His name is Caesar. I like him almost as much as the original Caesar.
Yeah. That's great. That's what's up next.
Okay.
We'll be talking about that next week. But first, we got to just...
shut down launch operations.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to everyone for listening this week. Thank you to Hannah for being here.
Thank you for having me and for letting me do my tangent.
Oh, absolutely.
And Hannah, where can people check out Authorized Novelizations?
Yeah, we are on the platforms that podcasts are on. Spotify, Apple, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, search Authorized Novelizations podcast. We read novelizations. We watch the movies. We talk about how they different, how the adaptation works, blah, 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 blah. It's super fun. It's a lot of homework, and it would be awesome if somebody was listening. I personally am on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd. And I don't post on, Letterboxd, I use like a diary, yeah. right? As one must. But I'm a very easy Twitter follow. I'm posting once a week, tops. So nice. Very low commitment. And I'm tweeting about shit like Charlton Heston, his teeth. Like, I'm getting horny for guys who were hot in 1982. I'm fun, I promise.
That's great. Yeah, you guys should check out, if you're enjoying our Apes coverage, Authorized Novelizations is covering Apes as well. So
yeah.
You can dive in there for a different
hear
take.
Hear more about what's actually going on in those books. Because I tell you, I read a book, we talk about it, I throw it out of my
right.
brain.
Yeah, sure.
I just got to make space. Yeah. I feel bad, but I got to.
All right. I think that's going to bring us to the end of Planet of the Apes 2001. Before we sign off here, Eliz, where can people reach out?
Email us at sequelrights@gmail.com and find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at sequelrights. And also listen to all of our episodes on our YouTube channel.
Yes. Rate and review wherever you're listening. And what I want to see on the comments of this YouTube episode is tell me who's on your ape Mount Rushmore.
Ooh.
Which apes yeah, would which you ape? Fuck?
Yeah, Mount Rushmore in fuckable order. Yeah,
for boning. Mount Rushmore.
That's right.
Okay. Anyways, you guys. Okay, to close out the episode, thank you all for being here. You may remember last week we had our big 250th episode, and we announced that we were gonna do away with copywritten music. And only play AI recordings of random songs that are made up. But have some sort of connection to the film. And this week is the first time that, yeah, we have like one that is legit connected to Planet of the Apes 2001. The title of the song is Ape Lincoln.
About our best friend, Ape Lincoln.
Yeah, our best friend, Ape Lincoln.
Rest in peace.
And as you listen.
A martyr to the cause.
We hope you enjoy this. It's supposed to be in the style of his inaugural march. So. As he was celebrated president of Planet of the Apes, or whatever the fuck. Earth. I don't know. Who
Earth. Ape America.
Ape
America. Love it. Okay. Hope you guys enjoy it. We'll see you next week for Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I watched the film The Apes in Control, but at the end it took a wild toll. Ape Lincoln appeared, it was so grand, leaving me puzzled trying to understand. Oh, Ape Lincoln, what do you mean? In the chaos of apes, you're a strange scene. A symbol of power, a leader divine.
but your presence leaves me questioning mine. Was it a metaphor, a message profound, or just a strange twist leaving me confound? As the credits roll, I scratch my head, trying to make sense of what the film said. Oh, Abe Lincoln, what do you mean? In the chaos of apes, you're a strange scene. A symbol of power, a leader divine, but your presence leaves me questioning mine. Perhaps it's a commentary on power and might, or a reminder that history's not always right. But Abe Lincoln, you leave me perplexed. In this ape-dominated world, what comes next? Oh, Abe Lincoln, what do you mean? In the chaos of apes, you're a strange scene. A symbol of power, a leader divine, but your presence leaves me questioning mine. So ponder and wander on into the night, trying to decipher what you signify. Abe Lincoln, a mystery yet untold. In the planet of the apes, you break the mold. Abe Lincoln, what do you do?